Hey, this is post-production Matthew Marissa. So this was previously the end of a previous Talk Surfer, I believe our last Talk Surfer we did, and we realized that Talk Surfer was going on very long, so we decided to bottle it up and save it for a rainy day. So this is that ending, that lost segment. Enjoy!
I'm connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web.
The web.
Computer today.
Computer.
NetSurfer Pro.
So, this is a little corner called What the Hell is Matthew Marissa's Current Hyperfixation? That's the theme song. So, John Carpenter's Halloween, Stranger Things, Adam's Family, and the band Guns N' Roses have in common?
They all make me excited.
Pinball tables. So, I've been getting into pinball, and I feel like when I tell people that, a lot of times they look at me with, like, okay? But, like, okay, here's the thing. I thought pinball was neat, and I liked the way pinball tables looked, but it cost money to play, and it was hard to get, you know, a dollar to play a pinball game. But, like, I've actually, you know, I think it was because I was hanging out with some fighting game friends in Chicago. We went to an arcade, and somebody in the group was into pinball. The guy who was into pinball was like, hey, y'all ever play pinball? And I was like, sure, I'll play it. And I got really into pinball now. So pinball is really cool. There's a lot of nuance to it. And I think, like, even today, I have friends who are like, oh, so you like gambling? And they were like, well, isn't pinball just random? Pinball is entirely skill. Here's my pinball journey. You know how people are like, here's my journey to learning this thing.
Yeah, here's my Mega Man
journey. Here's my pinball journey. So, pinball, when you start out, you just smack the ball with the flippers and you hope you do something. You're gonna waste money that way, you fucker. There's a bunch of things that are important to note. First off is, what is a pinball table actually like? Because, you know, you have bumpers, you have flippers, you have jets, you have spinners, you have the outlanes that drain your ball down the bottom. You have three balls. And then sometimes you get a multi-ball, sometimes you get an extra ball. That's like the extent of pop culture pinball knowledge. Pinball is, first and foremost, they are like board games in that there is a defined play space where there are certain objectives you have to complete, with the ultimate goal being to get points. It's just completing these objectives gives you the most points, for a well-designed table at least. There's a lot of different objectives. You can usually tackle them in different orders, and some will progress like point bonuses for the end of a ball. Some will give you huge bonuses immediately. Some will like give you other benefits, and then obviously some progress things like multi-ball or extra ball, or like ball saves that will help you later. You can think of these all as just different objectives, and different tables have different types of objectives. What the objectives actually are varies from table to table. There's a few common sort of genres of pinball table that I've seen. The first one is pretty common. I call it mode mania, but it's essentially just there's a lot of different shots that are represented by like a flashing arrow or image. When you start a mode, think of it like starting a quest in a game. Certain arrows will flash depending on what mode you're in, and that's saying to make those shots to get more points. Usually if you make all of them, you finish the mode and you get more points for doing so.
Okay.
Modes are just their word for like quests in this case then. I think good examples of this are like most tables developed by Stern, which I'll get to like the different table manufacturers later, tend to do this. It's pretty common in, like, tables from the 90s as well. Then you have, sometimes, another popular one is single boss battle, where there's, like, a main bad you have to fight. And sometimes there are other bads you have to fight, but usually there's a big fixture. This includes things like Cactus Canyon, where there's, like, this outlaw in the back, and whenever you hit him with the ball, he takes damage. Black Knight, which is a knight that has, like, a shield and a sword and a mace covering certain lanes.
Is the Godzilla one like this at all?
Not really. I'll get to that in a second.
Interesting.
There is also the Stranger Things one has like a big Demogorgon, and that's the main target there. I also want to point out Medieval Madness, which is my favorite, which has a big castle that you get a lot of points for breaking.
Nice.
Then you have some that are just like, make these shots, bucko. One that I played a lot that I played a lot because a place near me has it on free play is Whitewater. In Whitewater, the main thing is just make a shot at a flashing arrow. And then there's also a lot of collectathon tables, where typically the main goal is to gather a bunch of things that then get added and multiplied at the end of a ball, so that you get a huge bonus.
That's right, collectathons aren't dead, they just went the way of the pinball table.
Yeah, so my favorite in this example is Junkyard, where you get a bunch of garbage.
Oh my god. And then, sorry, I just thought of a Banjo-Kazooie pinball table.
Just wait.
Oh no.
I also, though, want to shout out the Hot Wheels table, which is really funny because you just collect classic Hot Wheels cars that have, like, you know, the set and date they're from.
Yeah.
And then also the 007 table, because you collect, like, gadgets, Bond girls, henchmen, and it, like, adds up how many of each thing you get.
Like, Smash TV. At the end, it's a James Bond standing on top of a growing pile of women and cars and martinis.
And guys.
I'm bisexual, you see.
I mean, have you seen the music video for Genghis Khan?
Ah, true.
But so, you mentioned the Godzilla one. There's also, I mean, those aren't exclusive. Like, you can combine these together. And so what Stern likes to do with some of their tables is make mode-based boss battles, where you're still dealing damage to something, but you usually have to, like, start a fight and select an enemy. And then the amount of damage you do is you deal damage by making called shots like a normal mode, but then also you can usually, like, improve your strength.
Yeah.
Like, you deal more damage per hit, so it's easier to complete the mode. Godzilla's like that, the Deadpool table is like that, and they have a few others. That's sort of a rundown of a lot of tables. Going to, like, developers, generally there's multiple designers for tables per company, but companies will obviously hire designers that have similar styles to then sort of develop their brand. So Gottlieb made all the old ones from, like, the 60s that got trashed by the FBI. Then a lot of the classic ones people remember from, like, the 80s and 90s were made by Bally and Williams. Bally has some, like, licensed ones that were really well known. There's a place near me that has a bunch of Bally machines, and they have, like, a South Park one, and a Mario Bros. One that I think was also Bally.
Ooh.
And then there's another place here that has a, like, WrestleMania machine made by Bally. And then Williams made a lot of unthemed ones that are really popular. They made Attack from Mars, Medieval Madness, Whitewater, those are ones I already mentioned, Junkyard. But then they made Fishtails, No Good Gophers, those are some really well-known ones. But then they did make some licensed ones, such as Addams Family, which is like one of the most popular pinball tables of all time. And there's a lot of people that make reproductions of William tables to this day.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, well, if you play Pinball FX, most of the, like, retro tables they have that are real-life tables are Williams. They also, I think, made Monster Bash and Creature from the Black Lagoon, which are both very good. I might be wrong on that. Those might be Bally. But, so then, of the modern developers, there is Stern, who is super common. I think, like, Stern has a lot of tables that you'll find in just, like, a bar, because they make a lot of ones that are licensed off of bands, which are really funny, by the way. Any table that's licensed off a band will usually let you choose the background music from a selection of that band's catalog. So, like, for Foo Fighters, you could listen to Everlong, or Monkey Wrench, or Pretender, or, you know, stuff like that. But then when you start a mode, it's always a mode based off one of their songs, and the song that it's based off starts playing. So it'll interrupt you. I'll be like, don't wanna be ya. And then I go to the fucking thing, and it's like, there goes my hero. It's like, great. I totally wanted to listen to My Hero. I definitely was tired of listening to Monkey Wrench.
Don't wanna be my hero.
I mean, yeah, have you seen the art in that? It's kind of sus. I really like the Rush table because Subdivisions is on there, and that's one of my favorite songs of all time, and I do much better when I sing along to it.
I feel like Rush is a future talk surfer topic. Yeah. You've brought it up a lot, and I've been, at the very least, listening to YYZ a lot and going,
YYZ?
YYZ, you heathen? Sorry.
Get out of here.
Of course.
It was my dad's favorite band.
You know what? That sounds about right. Like, you know, very dad rock, but also really
very
good.
Prog.
Yeah, very, very
ahead
prog.
Of their time. We'll talk about that some other time. We're talking about
different
pinball.
Day.
So
also, not all dad rock bands are good. A lot of them are bad. A lot of them are actually good. It's just a genre.
So Stern makes a lot of licensed ones. They recently released a Venom table. They've made Avengers, Ninja Turtles, a ton of stuff. They have a web service where you can make an account and it tracks your scores and it tracks achievements, which is really fun. That part's really cool, and I like it. They have some really cool concepts in their designs that feel very artistic in terms of, using pinball to create or represent something. So, for example, in Ninja Turtles, you choose one of the four turtles to play as, and each one has their own sort of special things. Like, one of them makes multi-ball easier to get, one of them makes extra ball easier to get. But when you get the multi-ball, it starts with four balls in play. For the four turtles.
Yeah!
And then it goes up by two at most, which are Casey Jones and Splinter.
Yep.
So it's really cool. They're using the pinballs to represent the turtles in this case.
Who's Casey Jones?
Ligma Balls?
Damn it. April O'Neil.
No, Casey Jones.
Hang on, wait. Is this just hang on.
This is a real character from Ninja Turtles.
This is a real character from Ninja
Turtles. He wears
Turtles,
a hockey mask. He has a hockey stick. He's a vigilante, but he's a guy.
Oh my god, right. Okay. God, wow. That's a
fake
that's
fan
a
over here
yeah,
trying to call me
fan,
a fake
of course.
Fan?
Yeah, nah, fair enough. I don't know how I lived this long and didn't know there was a fucking side character to Teenage
Let's
Mutant
say
Ninja
he's like
Turtles.
A secondary character, not side, but not main. Anyways, there's also an Avengers table where they have all these different shots that represent different Avengers members. The Thor one is a captive ball. Sometimes it'll have a pinball that just stays in place the whole time that you hit with a ball and it does a Newton's cradle sort of thing. And those are really fun, but the Thor one sort of treats it like a test of power where you hit the hammer and it goes ding.
That's really good.
But then really when you cute. Do the multi-ball in Avengers, you add balls as you go every time you make a new one of these shots that represents a different Avenger. So
yeah.
You team up.
You assemble the Avengers.
Yeah. There's also a spinny thing that you hit the ball with and it goes in a circle. And that's Doctor Strange doing the portal where he spins it.
That's really fun.
Yeah, that's how you start battles in that one.
Oh, man.
So they're great. There's Jersey Jack, who is a very controversial and divisive company in the sense that so a lot of tables will give you sort of auxiliary points. Jersey Jack will have things that look like they would give you points, but don't. So normally there's jets, which are the circles in the back usually that, bounce the ball around after you launch it. Some tables you can get a pretty good amount of points for those. Monster Bash, Medieval Madness, 007. But Jersey Jack, they rarely give you any points for those.
That's weird.
The thing is, they want to reward skill play. These are the hardcore. This is the Project M of pinball tables. This is the Dota 2 of pinball tables. This is the people that want you to be you get points if you're good, and if you're not good, get good. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is controversial.
Yeah.
I have come around to liking some of their tables. Dialed In is interesting. I don't know how much I like it. They also always have really weird skill shots that are hard to do. The one I like, though, is Toy Story 4. Has some really cool ideas in it. Is pretty fun. Probably the easiest Jersey Jack table because it's fucking Toy Story.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Toy Story, the ball cruncher.
Yeah. It's also one of my best tables now.
When your ball gets trapped in this one, we literally destroy it in front of you and scatter the ash on you.
That suck for the people who are owning and operating the table.
Exactly. Each new ball is $300.
Wow.
And it gets deducted from your credit card.
So Jersey Jack is hit or miss. It's very much geared for tournament play. They have multiplayer only mechanics.
Interesting.
For most tables, multi-balls are tracked by player. So, if I get one ball locked, and then it goes to your turn, you have zero balls locked. That's not the case for Jersey Jack tables.
Yeah.
So they have, interesting player interaction elements. That makes them really cool if you're into, like, tournament play.
Yeah.
I would like to do more pinball tournaments, but most places around here do leagues where you have to sign up and do them for, like, 2 months. And most of the leagues are currently ongoing.
Yeah.
And also, it's kind of a hard commitment at times, compared to fighting games, which are, like, 1 week a month we do a big one. Otherwise, it's come if you want. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then there's Spooky Pinball Tables, who I don't like. They made the Rick and Morty pinball table.
I see why you don't like them.
They made the Halloween pinball table and the Ultraman table. And the Halloween and Ultraman tables are the same table.
Wow.
Just rethemed.
Real like, data design vibes.
Yeah, really. Like, they have the big table, which has obstacles in weird spots, drop shots in the middle that make things super awkward. They have these two top trays of, like, tiny top tables, but it's not clear which shots go up there in the first place. The flow is all weird. The ball locks are at the worst angle possible. It's just uncomfortable. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to do some of those shots. And yeah, it's the same table. It's just rethemed. It's so frustrating to me.
Yeah. Considering how a pinball table, like, the design of a pinball table in so many of the other instances are really, like, really tightly designed to try and get their themes apart, it feels kind of heretical to just be like, this one's Mario, and this one's Nario.
Yeah, it's, you know, coming from Stern, that has, like, these very thematic mechanics. In Jersey Jack, that tend to have very thematic aesthetics. Like, for Dialed In, it's like a city, and so all the ramps look like roads.
Oh, that's cute.
And for Toy Story, all the things are colored like a carnival.
Yeah.
It, compared to those, it's like, Spookies just feel heartless in their design. Like, they got a license and they slapped it on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I don't remember who made the Weird Al pinball machine I played, but that one was weird and pretty ass. That's it. There is a Weird Al machine. It had Weird Al songs, and that was kind of cool, but, like, it was 90% touchscreen, 10% pinball stuff.
You know what? That's one thing I will say. As a complete outsider, I'm not saying you can't have digital elements. I do think that part of the fun of pinball is that it's a wholly enclosed system.
Yeah, look, I loved Marble Runs and Rube Goldberg's as a kid. I am a slut for the physicality of balls.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love looking at pinball tables because of, like, all the intricate mazes of, like, pipes and ramps and stuff. But, like, if you're gonna squish them all to the back like you're shoving crap off a desk so you could work on a project, it's not as fun. So don't play the Weird Al table if you see it. It kind of sucks. So those are the table creators. Next is how to play pinball. Here's the skills I learned. First thing is that the momentum of the ball matters a lot. So if you hit something off, like, the right flipper at the very tip, it will not always go to the same spot, because the speed that it approaches that point matters.
Yes.
If you're on the right flipper and it's moving to the left, the shot will go more to the left. If it's moving to the right, it'll either go straight or slightly to the right. So you can think of it like the flipper's adding its own momentum, and you know, combine that with the momentum from the existing side, and it's physics. So, like, if you want to make a shot down the center, sometimes you have to intentionally slow down the ball or, like, set it, kind of dribble it.
Yeah.
So you can do that.
That was one thing that, even as a pinball amateur, I kind of realized was, like, if I can get the ball, like, wedged between the flipper and, you know, the little ramp that gets it to the flipper,
yeah,
then I can essentially just completely reset it and then make a shot lot more accurate.
So that's called cradling.
Okay.
That is a skill that has been passed down through generations where, yeah, you hold the ball in place, wait for it to become zero speed, and that tends to make shots more consistent, though there are some you just can't make with that because you need the extra speed. An example is on Medieval Madness, there is a, like, catapult shot off to the side that if you cradle it, I don't think it's possible to get there without some shenanigans where you, like, bounce it off a bumper or something.
Yeah.
But if you have enough speed going down the right side, you can get it there. So that's important. From cradling, you can also pass it to the other one on a lot of tables by just very lightly letting go and pressing the flipper again.
Yeah.
You just kind of vibrate it. This cradling also tends to let you do, like, same side hits, where instead of right flipper goes left flipper goes right, you can use the right flipper to hit a shot on the right side. And then, of course, there's just learning tables and, like, learning how the different mechanics work, the goals, the modes, and all that, skill shots. Skill shots tend to be either you want to plunge it at a certain speed so that it lands somewhere. You want to make a specific called shot after you plunge it. But if you miss it within like the first 2 seconds after plunging, then you lose it.
Right.
Sometimes there will be not a plunger, but a button you press. And oftentimes, if those don't have the skill shot where you make a certain called shot, instead, there will be multiple lanes at the top that light up. And like when you roll over them, it lights up and they give you a bonus. But when you first go over them after launching, one will be flashing, and if the ball rolls over that lane, it gives you a skill shot bonus.
Mm.
Those are funny, because oftentimes you can change which lane is lit up by using the flipper button.
Ah.
Similarly, almost every table has lights at the bottom on the out lanes at the bottom that will light up when you roll over them, and those tend to give you like a ball save or a kickback. You can also change which ones are lit up by using the flipper buttons. So if you, like, keep getting the ball into the right flipper from the, like, side lane, you can just, you know, click the button to make it unlit, then click it again, and then the next time it comes down, it'll be unlit.
Nice.
But since you can adjust the skill shot using that method, there are some tables where I've never missed the skill shot in, like, 10 games because of that. I can just react.
Yeah.
Monster Bash and Medieval Madness are two.
Nice.
So pinball's really cool. A lot of cool tables. My favorites are Toy Story 4, Medieval Madness. I really like Monster Bash, but that might be because it has a very low amount of points needed to get a replay. So I tend to get at least like one, maybe two replays every time I pay for it. I like Rush because it has subdivisions, though the table itself is kind of ass and jank because there's like stuff in the way and it's uncomfortable. I like the premium version of Godzilla. I'm pretty sure the premium version and, like, normal version have different size lanes for certain shots that make it harder to do.
God, that's
also
about
the multi-ball
right.
For the Godzilla multi-ball is different between the two. And then I like Junkyard a lot because that's the only one I've gotten the wizard mode on, which is, like, what they call it when you get all the other modes on a table.
Oh, okay.
When you've completed every challenge, usually there's one final challenge.
Yeah.
Junkyard, I did that on Pinball FX3 and got a bunch of points, and it was cool.
Nice.
Now, I have a list here, which is top 5 properties that need a table.
Yep.
So, of course, being into design and game design and shit like that, and then being into pinball, I'm like, I wonder what pinball table design is like. And then I just think, there's some things that make good pinball tables.
All right. So I'm going to, I'm so glad that I can bring this out, actually. I spent years making this system of, do I think this is a good idea, scale. It goes between 1 and 1.5, and the scales are 1, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, and 1.4, and 1.5.
Okay.
1.5 is the highest, obviously.
Sure.
So I'm so excited about this, because I thought I'd never have a purpose for this. I don't even know why I made it.
Okay, so number five, I guess. We're going from least best to best most. So number 5, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
All right.
So here's the thing. Pinball tables are already all about combos.
Yep.
Because for most tables, if you hit a ramp or a lane or an orbital, which is where it goes behind all the other stuff in the back, then you do another one, it tends to give you a combo bonus for making multiple good shots quickly in a row. Because that's kind of hard, so it gives you points. So that's also how it works in Pro Skater. You know, you do tricks in a row, you get points. Additionally, there are some tables that have launch ramps where, like, you shoot the ball over them and it goes whew, through the sky.
Oh, man.
This famously was done in No Good Gophers to be, like, a driving range where sometimes you go over the side and you hit it and then you hit, like, a golf cart. And then it's also in Toy Story 4, there's like a stunt ramp that you jump over.
Nice.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know what it's a reference to exactly, but it's cool.
This one's a solid 1.5. This is just excellent.
But also, think about like the pipes that they use The, like, yeah, little metal wires that they use.
Yeah.
The rails, one might say.
The rails, like, I can just immediately, it's like you got a sensor at the start and a sensor at the end, and you do the sound whenever it's,
yeah,
like, it's perfect. I can also imagine.
I think you were going to say this too, but there's a number of tables, most tables really, have drop targets that spell words when you fill them out loud.
Yep.
And
yep,
what does that sound like? It's collect all the letters of skate.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect. Like, that's perfect. I could even see, like, a time thing where it becomes the letters of combo instead.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, fun, like, you know, big moments of the series to pull from as well. Obviously, you have to have, like, you don't have to pull from everything, but I do think you have to have the McTwist over the helicopter as one, yeah, of the big challenges.
You do not need to have any of the things from Thug 2 where they make fun of disabled people.
You do not.
Yeah, or homeless people.
Just, Thug 2. You're my problematic fave.
But you could use the, like, skate land from Thug 2 as just a generic Tony Hawk's Pro Skater location.
Actually,
if,
yes,
you didn't want to stick to one location. I mean, you could do, like, Foundry or Factory or whatever it is.
School 2 would actually School be, two, like, yeah. School 2, incredibly iconic.
Or
but
just,
yeah,
or just like, a skate competition with vert ramps and stuff like that.
Yep, yep.
You have a lot of options. Next one, Enter the Gungeon. I don't necessarily know what the ball would be, but I just think that, like, given Devolver's history with Gungeon as a property, this makes sense to be a real thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's already some, like, especially on Pinball FX, there's like a Necrodancer pinball table,
just
which I don't,
so good.
I don't fully understand the logic, but sure. But like, I think like the pixel art style fits really well for sort of the history of pinball tables and their current niche as like an arcadey retro throwback entertainment game. I also think just like it'd be fun to collect all the wacky guns from Enter the Gungeon. That being similar to, like, the Hot Wheels table would be really good.
Yeah.
You could have, yeah, a lot of good boss fights. It could be a Stern-style, you know, start a fight and then do certain shots to deal damage, and certain guns let you do things.
I like this idea a lot, especially because they already intended to make a light gun game.
Mm-hmm.
This fits very much with that aesthetic. The only thing that I think is that I feel like they would ultimately have some kind of digital aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's inherently bad if it was done well, but it's just like I can't see them doing this and not having like some kind of mini boss where instead where you have to like hit the two bumpers to like, you know, shoot a boss or something.
I mean, even a lot of old games have video modes,
yeah,
where like you'll go into a thing and then it'll be like look at the screen and play a little video game. Like Junkyard has shoot toast at a dog or like maneuver a turret to shoot aliens.
Yeah.
Indy,
yeah,
500 and Getaway both have driving minigames on the video mode.
I'm gonna give this one a solid 1.4. I could very much see this happening, and I think it would be really, really good.
Okay, next one is Street Fighter. So remember how I talked about how the Ninja Turtles one lets you choose a turtle?
Yep.
This,
yep,
is a fairly common thing. Like, there is a what's it called? Godfather table, where you choose like a mafia house. There's a Game of Thrones table where you choose one of the houses from Game of Thrones. So like character selection is already a...
You come to me about this on the day that I get a multi-ball.
Yeah. So character selection is already a verb. It's already a concept.
Yep, yep.
So Street Fighter, different characters can have different things they're good at. Like for example... For example, Chun-Li could have a free kickback lit up at the start.
I love it. Yep, yep.
Honda has the 100-hand slap, so he could have the easier multi-ball.
Yep, yep.
Guile might have a thing where, like, if you hold the flipper, then you actually build up, like, a point bonus.
Yeah.
Like a charge.
Yeah.
And then, you could have the called boss fights, which are fights against other characters.
Yep, yep.
But then once you beat them all, you go through, like... You know, you do Boxer, Claw, Dictator, aka Balrog, Vega, and Bison, or Bison, Vega, and Balrog.
Yeah,
And here's the thing, retro arcade. Think about where these,
yeah,
tables are.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2 is so popular to just throw into an arcade and be like, hey, look, we have a Street Fighter. So you could just do that. It fits the theme.
I think this is another solid 1.5. I was a slightly skeptical, but you sold me. That's kind of perfect.
Yeah. And just think about, like, having your character's theme playing during the background.
Oh, God, yes. Let's truly see if Guile's theme does go with everything.
Okay, number two is Toho, but there's a caveat to this. So, okay, for reference, the first two Toho games were breakout-type games where you whack a ball around the screen to hit targets.
Yeah, Toho was a pretty breakout hit.
So there was, like, some bullet hell elements, but it was also a game where you whack a ball around.
I noticed you didn't laugh at my joke.
And I think, like, it's another one that would be good for boss battles where you go through, like, the characters in order. But specifically, I think this would be a good video game pinball game.
Yes.
Where it has, like, a table for each individual game. So, like, 6, Embodiment of Scarlet Devil. Like, it has the Scarlet Devil Manor in the back, and then the lake and all that in front. And, like, you know, you do some stuff, and then you fight Rumia, and then you fight Cherno, and then you fight Mei Ling, and then, you know, like, the gate to the manor opens up, and then you fight Patchouli and Sakuya, and then Remelia. And then if you get all the way that far, you fight Flan, you know?
Yeah.
Like the boss fight verbiage of Toho actually translates fairly well to pinball.
Yeah.
You could, you know, you if you split these into, like, groups of three, you could do a few games at a time. Like, 6, 7, 8, and then 10, 11, 12, and then 13, 14, 15, and then so on.
I'm going to give this one a solid...
I didn't even finish, though. The other thing, though, for one thing, there's Toho versions of every game genre except pinball. I don't think there's a Toho pinball. There probably is already, but it might be, like, a Japan-only thing that was sold at, like, Reitaisai 2017 and nobody uploaded it to the internet.
There are actually three in existence. Yeah. Two of them are owned by Zune, and then one was stolen in a heist.
Yeah. So there could already be one. But also, like, as Toho is also, like, the Toho games are very arcadey. Like, they are bullet hell shmups.
Yeah.
And so having more games that are like arcade games is kind of fitting for the series.
Yeah, yeah. I like this a lot. I'm going to give this a solid 1.3, given that 1.0 is the lowest.
Yeah.
I think that the only thing that takes away the 2.01 points is just that I love it. I think it specifically would have to stick as a video game.
Yeah.
And that isn't to say that video game experiences are inherently lesser or anything. It's just, like, I don't think it would make a good physical cabinet, but, like, as a video game collection, like you said, that goes through, like, you know, 6-in-1 game or whatever, and has the multi-boss, like, that... Awesome. Instant hit.
Yeah, I think the way you would do it as just a physical table is to have, like, all of Gensokyo represented, or at least, like, the main hits, and then have multiple boss fights, but the boss fights are, like, the main bosses.
Yeah.
So instead of fighting Patchouli, then Sakuya, then Remelia, it's just, like, Remelia and Flan are one thing, and then, like, Kanako is another one, and Yukari is another one, and Aiden's another one, and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Also would be a good instance to use, like, character selection.
Yep, yep.
So, number one, though, which I've told Galen about many times now, yep. You know, I mentioned the band tables, and I've been thinking, like, you know, okay, what bands do I like that would be good for this? And I settled on three, and then I settled on one of those three. The two I didn't think about were Coheed and Gorillaz. Both have enough lore to make for an interesting table. Both have a lot of songs that would be fun to play around with. But the one I settled on the most was Zutamayo Pinball.
Yep.
Let me paint this. I have this entire thing figured out. And by that I mean I have, like, a rough draft in MS Paint.
You have the floor.
Okay, so first off, the main thing is set up to look like the city from, like, Neko Resetter and Time Left and what's it called? Mirror Tune.
Yep, yep.
The main city. You could have, like, the jets off to the side are, like, the carnival rides from Darken. And then there is the main building, which is the Haibon Electronics building, back out at the front. And then above it is the clock from Byoshin Wakamu by the second hand. It's the clock. The big heart clock.
The big clock.
Yeah. So, imagine this. There's, like, two ramps and maybe an orbital, and whenever you hit one, it progresses the clock by an hour, When it reaches midnight, you can start a mode by hitting the ball into the Haibon Electronics building. And of course, each mode's based off of a different song. Now, the clock would probably start at like 10, or be something you could adjust as the operator, but every time you complete a mode, it progresses backwards an hour the next time, so you need to do more shots to get to the next mode.
Yeah.
And then finally, the wizard mode is when the clock starts at midnight.
Yep.
Because it's midnight all the time, baby. And that's probably like the Byoshin Wokamu bite the second hand mode.
Yeah.
Additionally, one multi-ball could be like the drop targets on the side are Nira and Gray, which have the same amount of letters.
Yep, yep.
And so you get that multi-ball. There could be an Uniguri multi-ball where like you hit something a few times and you do that. You could have like the light bulb from Such a Disturbance be the extra ball.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then also there could be a thing where like you have to, if you are not in a mode and you can't start a mode, you can hit the Haibon Electronics building a bunch of times to like open it up like in Hunch Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just have, and then even then, another thing I thought was that you could have it be a collectathon as well, where you collect different Niras and Grays and yeah. Guardians and stuff, and that's like the bonuses, like doing different shots a few times gets you these.
The bonuses are that we get canon names for each individual Nira.
We have canon names for some of them.
We have but, some of them, but not all.
And I thought like you could have it be like these are pictures snapshotted by camera Nira.
Yeah. Oh,
or I something love that. Like that. Or it's found by the researcher Nira from
journalist Nira.
Journalist Nira. I was thinking the one from what's the most recent one? Is it Inside? Oh. Is that what it's called?
No, you're thinking of the Bo Burnham special.
The one, not the chameleon era, but the one that's not the chameleon era.
Yes.
That scientist who's like psychic has the levitation.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, that would be banger. And then you could have the kickback thing be like each of the lanes has the letters ZTMY, mm-hmm. Zutamayo. And then when you light those all up, you get like a ball save or a kickback or something.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah. 1.5. I love this idea so much. It's such a like unironically excellent neat little idea.
See, yeah. Feel free to use that one, Zutamayo, and whatever company you decide to contract to make this.
So long
table.
As it's not the shitty one.
Yeah. So long as it's not spooky, I'll take Jersey Jack. Stern would be good too. Not spooky though. Not whoever made the Weird Al one.
Yeah.
And also, if you're listening to this, Zutamayo, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much, Zutamayo.
And even if you're not Zutamayo, thanks for listening.
Hey, yeah, you know what? Thank you, listener, who's currently listening. That's right, you're Zutamayo now. Wow. The real Zutamayo was in us all along.
Aww. You can follow us on any podcasting platform you like. Give us a like, give us a rating, give us a review, leave us a comment, let us know how we're doing, let us know what we should cover next, or what you think we might be interested in. Additionally, you can follow us on Twitter to get updates on, I'm still calling it Twitter, by the way, and out of protest.
Yes.
You know what I mean when I say Twitter.
I believe that there is only one acceptable version of dead naming, and that is dead naming companies.
Especially the one that their new name was a photosensitivity hazard.
Yes.
We can't waste any more time this episode.
Yeah, you're right.
So you can follow us there at NetSurferPro to get updates and teasers for upcoming episodes. The next episode is currently being teased, which sounds weird, but that's what I'm sticking with. You can follow me on Twitter at Twackaroo, where I tweet my hot takes, my updates on projects I'm working on. I'll probably start using other social media soon. It's just hard to change routine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack, T-W-A-K, where I stream on weekdays from about 1 p.m. Central Time to 3 or 4 p.m. Central Time. I've been recently streaming Cruelty Squad. Pretty soon I'm going to start Pikmin 2.
Nice.
Even though Pikmin 4 just came out, I want to play Pikmin 2 first.
Yep.
And also I have been returning to doing Humongous Mondays.
Yes!
Which is where I play through all of the Humongous Entertainment point-and-click adventure games in release order. I just played the first Spy Fox game.
Yes, Dry Cereal.
I never had as a kid. I never had any of the Spy Fox. I'm new to this character. Who is this guy? He's just adult Bubsy. He's like Bubsy fused with Gex with a little bit of Sean Connery Bond.
Oh, man. I've seen that art. I wish I hadn't.
And so if that interests you at all, check that out. I also have been regularly exporting my VODs to YouTube at my Twax VODs and Ends channel. So if you want to see old streams, check that out.
Hey, as for myself, you can find me on Twitter currently and on TikTok, more importantly, at Galen Wilson. That's at GALENWILS0N. I post my hot takes and occasionally just videos that are me talking about little topics. So come check that out if you want to hear my opinions on things. You can find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, and you can find me on Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire. I might be trying to make Machine Gun Vampire more of just the things that I do when I do, you know,
things.
But that assumes that I do things. I'll do things one of these days. But right now, thank you very much for watching. This is a thing that I've done. And this is a thing that you've done.
Yeah.
This is a thing that we've done collectively.
Yeah. And now we can finally start listening to this negative first episode.
Yep. Hey everybody, welcome to NetSurfer Pro Negative Version. I'm your not host, Marissa.